only hope we have as a nation, amen, is the gospel of Jesus Christ, His finished work on the cross. Find Exodus in chapter number 29. Exodus in chapter number 29. And this morning, the title of my message is this: Garments Do Not a Priest Make. Garments Do Not a Priest Make. And we have just a limited amount of time this morning. Tonight, I'll do my very best. We're going to be out of here by 7 tonight. And I'd say, what do you mean? I mean, I believe it's going to be hot. Amen. And we're already seeing that temperature go up in here. And as the sun gets around to this side of the building, it's going to get hotter and hotter and hotter. And but I promise you this, the beaches will be packed. Amen. They will be. I just know that. So we might be able to make it here for an hour. All right. And so I encourage you to be here tonight at 6:00, and we'll be done. We will be praying the final prayer by 7:00. I promise. All right. And we can make sure we get out of the heat. But let's not neglect the word of God and being in the house of God together. In Exodus in chapter number 29, we are here in looking at the consecration of the priests for the service of the temple to minister unto the Lord. I want to just say this, because many people try to look at the Old Testament and they try to look at pictures, and we've definitely been looking at picture after picture, right? We've been painting what we've called God's portrait of Christ, but I think it's important that we'd remind ourselves that no picture's perfect. It's not. There's not a perfect picture of ever, because a picture doesn't tell you a whole story. You say a picture is worth 1,000 words, Pastor, right? But you can look at a person and look at a picture of them. It doesn't tell you anything of their character nor personality nor who they are. And even in the picture that we're seeing here of the tabernacle, we'd understand this, that the tabernacle didn't bring salvation unto anyone. It made people aware of their need of a Savior. It did that, but it didn't bring perfect salvation unto all men. Now, if men trusted in the picture of what the tabernacle was pointing them to, the Messiah, and they had faith in the coming Messiah, praise the Lord, that brought salvation. All right? But the tabernacle and the work of the tabernacle, it wasn't a perfect picture of salvation or of the work of God in our lives. It wasn't perfect. And in the picture we're looking at today, while it is a picture of Christ, it's also gives us an example of the priesthood of the believer. Amen. And we've talked about that as we've gone through this and our role this morning gives us that. But I want us to understand, contrary to many that would look at this passage and talk about, man, salvation. And they would in chapter 29. They talk about salvation. It's not a picture of our salvation. Nothing we're talking about is a picture of our salvation. If we're going to look at Exodus and look for salvation, we got to go back to Egypt land. Amen? And that's where we're going to find the salvation of the Lord in the book of Exodus. Today it's talking about the consecration of those who are the children of God, and then being set aside to the work and the purpose of God. And so this morning, as we stand in honor of the Word of God, if you're able to stand this morning, we want to just look at that consecration of the ministers of God. And here in chapter number 29, we're going to read the first 14 verses this morning. Man, I'd love to, if we had time this morning, this whole chapter, and Lord willing, if I ever preach it again, I'm going to figure out a way to get it all packed up into one little suitcase for us. But it doesn't stop where we're stopping today. In fact, we're going to just reference one of the offerings that's going to be made. But all of these offerings were for the purpose of the consecration of the ministers of God in the work of God in the tabernacle. And that's what we see. And so in chapter number 29, look at verse number 1. It says, "And this is the thing that thou shalt do unto them to hallow them, to minister unto me in the priest's office. Take one young bullock and two rams without blemish, and unleavened bread and cakes unleavened, tempered with oil, and wafers unleavened, anointed with oil. Of wheaten flour shalt thou make them." So gluten-free is out in this recipe, all right? It says, "And thou shalt put them into one basket and bring them in the basket with the bullock and the two rams, and Aaron and his sons thou shalt bring unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and thou shalt wash them with water. And thou shalt make and thou shalt take, the garments and put upon Aaron. Those are the garments in chapter number 28 that he'd given them in the instructions of making, the ephod and all those things. It says, put upon Aaron the coat and the robe of the ephod and the breastplate and the gird, and gird him with the curious girdle of the ephod. And thou shalt put the mitre upon his head, and put the holy crown upon the mitre. And thou shalt take an anointing oil, and this is important: the mitre and the for the head and the crown. Remember, were for the robe and the outfit of the high priest himself, not for all the priests, but for the high priest. So it's talking about Aaron specifically here. It says, and thou shalt take in verse number 7. The anointing oil, and pour it upon his, Aaron's head, and anoint him, Aaron. He was the only of the priests that were poured oil upon. Upon him. And that's important later on for the picture that is being painted of the Savior. It says, and thou shalt bring his sons and put coats upon them, and thou shalt gird them with girdles, and Aaron and his sons, and put the bonnets on them, and the priest's office shall be theirs for a perpetual statute. And thou shalt consecrate Aaron and his sons. And thou shalt cause a bullock to be brought before the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron and his sons shall put their hands upon the head of the bullock. And I'll ask you to remember when we talked about that brazen altar, and we went to Leviticus in chapter number 1, and as they would put their hands upon the head of the sacrifice, they were acknowledging they were sinful before God and in need of a substitute to take the place of their sin. You can read about that in Leviticus in chapter 11. That's what's taking place here as well. It says, and thou shalt kill the bullock before the Lord by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And thou shalt take the blood of the bullock and put it upon the horns of the altar with thy finger, and pour all the blood beside the bottom of the altar. And thou shalt take all the fat that covereth the inwards, and the coal that is above the liver, and the two kidneys, and the fat upon them, and burn them upon the altar. And some people just said, ugh. And some people said, yeah, like hunting, All right. But the flesh of the bullock and of his skin and the dung, here's the ugh to me, thou shalt burn with fire without the camp. Now look at this. It is a sin offering. It is a sin offering. This morning, over just the next few moments, I want to try to relate to preach this to you. Garments do not a priest make. Garments do not a priest make. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you for your love. And Lord, I thank you for your grace. And Lord, I thank you for loving me in spite of me. And God, I thank you for, God, giving us an opportunity that we might be able to open your word. I pray that your spirit would be in control today and in each and every one of our hearts. Lord, if there'd be one here that has not, Lord, asked that you to speak to them, God, would they humble themselves before you right now, desiring that we would understand, Lord, it is your word and by your spirit by which we might be able to have any instruction in this life. And so, Lord, we need you today. God, we ask that you would move. I pray that you would mightily and Lord, with a very evident hand, work this morning, God, that we might be able to have a knowledge of you. God, we thank you so much for your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. For me, it's been, honestly, it's been a joy to see the Old Testament picture of God as he is painting a picture of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, and the physical furniture that we've looked at, the different parts of the tabernacle that we've discussed, each and every one of them point to the person of Jesus Christ, and it helps us to understand the work that one day that they were looking to, that we get to today enjoy. They were looking forward to. They were looking forward to what the Messiah would do and how the Messiah would work, and we look to get to look back on what our Savior has done. Praise the Lord! We get to look back on that. Amen. I'll amen myself since you guys are enjoying the cool air. Amen. But as we look through the tabernacle, I'm telling you, it's just been one beautiful picture of Jesus Christ after another. I mean, we've looked at this, that He provides for us one way. He is the open door by which we can come up unto the presence of God. And I'm thankful that for that day, that there's just one. You say, man, it'd be so nice if there were multiple. No. I'm telling you, God made it so simple for man. Men can complicate anything. You can go to a wedding and men can even complicate sparklers. Amen. If you miss the wedding, you don't know what I'm talking about. Amen. Men can complicate anything. And I'm telling you, God said, listen, I'm not going to let man complicate this thing. I'm going to make it so simple. There's one door, and Jesus Christ is that door. He was the only gate. He is the only gate. And when you come inside that gate, He became the sacrifice for your sin. He is the only sacrifice for the sins of man there at that brazen altar. And then He cleanses us from our sin and iniquity at the laver. He sanctifies us, and He allows us to be a partaker of the holiness of God. I can't sanctify myself. And we're going to talk about that a little bit this morning, this hallowing and this consecration that takes place. But I'm telling you, God wants to sanctify me. He wants to consecrate me and set me aside for His special use. And then He gives us light. He's the only light. And He desires to shine His light into this lost world. And He wants to shine it, praise the Lord, through me and through you. That's where He wants to shine that light and representative of that golden candlestick, the only light in the tabernacle. And then He is ever ready to commune with us. And He's desiring communion. He wants communion with you today. He wants to meet into fellowship with you today. And He gave the table of showbread that you might be able to have fellowship with Him. And then He ever makes intercession for us at the altar of incense. He is our intercessor. And He is able to bring our prayers unto God. And we ought to always be in prayer. In fact, our faith, if you go over to Luke in chapter 18, we understand this, that our faith is directly tied to our prayer life. That if we don't have a right prayer life, then we can't be people of faith. And God, when He comes back, He wants to find faith on this earth. And in Luke in chapter 18, and praise the Lord that we have an intercessor that desires to bring our petition unto God. And then we also understand that veil that was separating the holy place from the holy of holies, and one man once a year could bring sacrifice into the holy of holies for the entirety of the nation. And listen, when Jesus Christ died upon the cross, that veil was rent from top to bottom. God rent it in twain. And listen, He replaced it with His precious Son, Jesus Christ. And now I have access 24/7, 365 days a year into the very presence of God because of the work of Jesus Christ. And He now is that which separates man from God's presence. And if you don't know Christ, listen to me. Let me help you understand this. If you don't know Christ, you are eternally separated from God's presence, but God's done everything He possibly can to bring you into His presence. He wants you to be there, and He wants you to dwell there, and He wants you to take up residence there with Him. And then He allows us to know the true presence of of the eternal God. Jesus Christ allowed us to go into the Holy of Holies and to be where God's presence dwells. And the ministry of the tabernacle, listen, it's a beautiful picture of what Christ was going to do in our lives and wants to do in your life today. And not only with all the furniture there, but also we've been looking in chapter number 28, there were some garments that were prepared for a man that would assume the office of what is called the priest, and more importantly, the high priest this morning. And that was Aaron and his sons were here to fulfill this role of priest. And Aaron, as a high priest, is a picture of our Lord and Savior as well. He's a picture of the Savior that was to come, that was going to take that sacrifice of his own self, and He was going to bring it unto the altar of God, and He was going to make sacrifice once for all for the sins of all mankind. And praise the Lord, it wasn't a sacrifice that was just going to suffice for a little while. No. We have eternal salvation through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. You and I have eternal salvation today. And that's a praise the Lord for that. And these garments that He was going to put on were for the purpose of pointing men to the holiness of the Lord. And we looked at that in chapter number 8 in verse number 36. That everything that He was going through, it wasn't for His comfort. Amen. And it wasn't because He was going to look cool. He kind of looks weird, honestly. But all of it, come on. All of it was for the purpose that when men saw the high priest coming, their first thought and their only thought was right across his forehead, the holiness of the Lord, and it was to point to the fact that God is holy. Supposed to point men to that fact. But the reality is that all the furniture there being holy was important. Even the tapestries being set aside unto the Lord was important. But also the man who adorned the robes and the ephod that God had caused them to make, that he himself would be set aside and sanctified and holy unto the Lord, was very important. It's not like God said, listen, all this stuff, all these inanimate objects, they need to be set aside and consecrated to me. They need to be set aside as holy unto me. No, no, the person that used all these inanimate objects, they have need of being hallowed unto me and consecrated unto me. And garments alone, just because he put them on, did not make him hallowed and consecrated. Right. Amen. I mean, the priest could have, he could have dressed up like Bozo the Clown. Come on. It didn't do anything for who he really was. Come on. And he put on special robes and special garments designed by God and designed for the purpose of people understanding the holiness of God. But listen, if they were to go on an individual that was unconsecrated to God and was not hallowed to God, that individual would defile the very purpose for which they were created. And so God said they need to be consecrated as well. Just this morning, because I'm a preacher wearing a tie. Amen. Doesn't make me consecrated unto God. I didn't put on a tie and then instantly I became holy. No. But listen, that which took place on the secret in the secrets of my heart this week as I commune with God. Listen, it's God who then is able to make holiness of us. It's important that we understand that this job needed to be done by one that is important and or by one that is consecrated. And we can dress up the outside and we can do a lot of good works, but that doesn't change who we are on the inside. And that doesn't mean we're obedient unto the Spirit of God. That doesn't mean that we're consecrated unto the holiness of God, and our heart's desire is that men might be able to see our Heavenly Father. I can go out and do a whole lot of good works, and my heart's desire might be that men might see my good works. And guess what? Our Savior, as He was given the Sermon on the Mount, said, listen, if we're doing works so that men might be able to see our good works, guess what, friend? You already have your reward. There is no more reward. So, we can dress up the outside and we can make it look important. But listen, what takes place on the inside is very important unto God. And listen, we can just look at the example of man dressing up to go to church. And we just live in a day when dressing up to go to church is kind of a thing of yesteryear. Do we really need to stop and get dressed up to go to church? I'll just share with you the importance of why you wear a tie, preacher. Why is it important when you get up to preach that you would wear a tie? Because listen to me, just like the priest was walking around pointing men to the holiness of God, I don't get up here in order to represent myself. I get up here in order to represent a holy living God, and I'm preaching His words, preferably, hopefully today, not mine. So I need to represent Him well, and I need to show forth the importance and the respect, listen, that I have for who He is. It's not about me wanting to wear ties. I tell all our guys, listen, I think ties are a necessary evil, primarily evil though. Amen? But necessary. Amen? You say, why? If I was going to represent anyone and I wanted people to understand the majesty and the splendor and how wonderful they are, listen, I'm not going to just show up any old way. I'm going to make sure I'm cleaned up and ready to go before someone else to show them how important someone else that I am representing is. And listen, God cares. God does this morning. Don't act like God does not care how we adorn our temple this morning. God very much cares how you adorn your temple. He cares about how you look in this world. I believe the Bible would be very clear on that. But listen, when we dress, it should speak to the creation of God and the splendor of God as men look like men and women look like women. Amen. Praise the Lord. How we dress says something about the gender that God has given us. And we ought to embrace that and realize that this world is trying to blur everything that's out there and just stop and say, no, I'm not confused at all. And I'm going to dress like I'm not confused. And I think it's important that we would understand that. I think it also would be important that we understand that we are the temple of God. And as so, we would adorn ourselves in a place that, in a way that would be honoring unto God and not just would be comfortable for us or would be to the modern style. There were some things in the temple that weren't seen by just any old eyes. Amen. And there are some things on your temple that shouldn't just be seen by any old eyes. Amen. And the Bible does describe what nakedness is to us. It very much does describe what nakedness to us is. From your knee to your collar, listen, the Bible would help us to understand that that's where nakedness would lie. And friend, listen, it needs to be covered up and it's important to the Lord. It's important to the Lord that we would understand that this is a temple. But I also say this, that you can put on all the right clothes, you can put on all the right garments, and everybody could look at you and go, my goodness, look how godly they are. And listen, and the way you look could have nothing, listen, could literally have nothing to do with the truth of who you are before God. Because God's able to look past on all the, listen, on all the ties and all the fancy clothes and on all those things. God, listen, God sees past all of that and He knows whether that's put on for a show or whether He knows that came from the secret man of the heart, that I'm just trying to show forth who He is or I'm just trying to put on a show. Amen. And I'm telling you, we can put on all the right things and we can do all the right things. And it's either going to do to show people to the glory of God or it's all going to be for a show. And God was concerned that, listen, while they got everything else right, that the individuals that were adorning these garments, they were also right with Him. That it was not just a show and that everybody understood that these men were set aside for the special use of the tabernacle. For using those things that were set aside only unto God. It wasn't just any old individual that came into the tabernacle and did the ministering that was there in the tabernacle. It belonged unto a special group of men that God had set aside for Himself and for the specific purpose that they understood that they were to be holy and that the things that they were doing were holy and that they listen, that they had a consecration unto God. Our text this morning, we see Aaron and his sons, they are being hallowed and consecrated to be able ministers to the Lord. That's what their holiness, the hallowing of them and the consecration of them. The tabernacle was to be holy unto the Lord. The furniture was to be holy unto the Lord. Therefore, the individuals that were ministering there were to be holy unto the Lord. The ministers as well was to bring that were entering the building and laying hold on the furniture were not to come in to defile it, but they were to come in to work alongside of it, so that God might be ministered unto. If they were to come in unholy and unsanctified themselves, they would have, destroyed the very picture and purpose for which God was trying to create. Now, I understand this, that when we talk about something being hollow or something being consecrated, that's not necessarily in our common day vernacular. Probably you've not used the word consecrated for anything in your lifetime. And probably that you would talk and you would say, this is hollow or that's holy are not words that we would use. So we want to define those a little bit this morning. Hollowed simply means this. It means to make holy. To hollow something is meaning that we are setting it aside as holy. It means to be consecrated and to set upon for, I'm sorry, to set apart for holy use. That's what hollowed, when something is hollowed, is it's set aside for holy use. And I want us to understand, this was a prerequisite. It wasn't that God just said, hey, just get any old bums off the street. No. God said, listen, these are specific men that I'm setting aside for a specific purpose and a specific use. And listen, they are to be set aside for my use only. It was a prerequisite to being a minister unto the Lord. It wasn't just that they put on the right stuff and they did the right stuff. It is that they were the right stuff. Amen. That they themselves were holy and they were consecrated unto the Lord. And on their that they had a heart of consecration, that they understood the need of being consecrated unto the Lord. If they just thought that, listen, it doesn't matter what I do, and it doesn't matter who I am, all that matters is these inanimate objects in which we're using, listen to me, the holiness of God would not be seen, because they would be defiling all the things that were holy, and they would be bringing down the purpose. And so as they were being made holy unto the Lord, there was a washing that was taking place. There was a washing that took place as we look that they were to bring all them in verse number 4. Aaron and his sons, thou shalt bring unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and thou shalt wash them with water. They were going to be bathed. That's what wash means. It was going to, if you will, we could give it a picture of baptism that was taking place, that they were completely washed or laved, if you will, by definition, in water. They were to wash them. Everybody was to see that they were themselves symbolically being cleansed, that they were submitting themselves unto the reality that they are to be consecrated, that they are to be holy, that they themselves in the service of all the holy things of God were first of all to start with their own selves. Amen. That's where everything, listen, that's where everything in the house of God, this building is just a building, listen, until God shows up in it. It is. No. Your life is just any old other life until God showed up in it. And all the things of God, listen, they're meaningless unless God's at the center of them. And in the life of those who were ministering in the temple, these priests and Aaron as the high priest himself, they had to be washed and they had to be set aside. And it was a picture for all of the congregation for them to understand that not just this building, but these individuals specifically have set themselves aside at the command of God, at the will of God, for the purpose of God, and for the consecration of God. They've set themselves apart. It is a picture of, listen, it's not a picture of their salvation. I'll say that again. That took place in Egypt. It was a picture of those who were identified as the children of God, at the will of God, setting themselves aside for special use to the glory of God, to carry out the holiness of God for the people and to be ministers to God for the people. It's a beautiful picture. So they were holy, they were hallowed, they were also consecrated. In verse number 9, they were consecrated. Thou shalt consecrate Aaron and his sons. Consecrate, it means to make or declare sacred. It means to appropriate to special use. That's the same idea as holiness that we would get into. It would be to set apart to deport to the service and the worship of God. That's what consecration is. That everything about them and everything about their lives, listen, it was not that they were to worry about their own personal needs. Come on. No, God was going to meet their needs. And it was not that they were to worry about every little need of the people. No. God was going to take care of the people. It wasn't that they were to go out and seek their own wealth or their own joy or their own prosperity or any of those things. No. Their entire life, everything about them was to be pointed unto the minister of God. And so therefore, in everything they did and everything they said and everywhere they went, their entire purpose was that God would be ministered unto. Say, man, that's all they did. That's literally all they did. They ministered unto God. They were wholly separated. They were consecrated unto God for His work and for His purpose, and to that God would be properly worshipped. What they did mattered to God. So everything they used and they themselves mattered to God, and their consecration mattered unto God. Certainly did. Now look at verse number 7. And this is important that we would understand this and that we would note this in the text. It says, so here they are, they're to be holied, and we're going to dress the high priest. We're going to clothe him in the robes and in the ephod that we've prepared for him. We're going to prepare him. And listen, this is what we're going to do. After we've clothed him, we are going to anoint, we are going to take an anointing oil and pour it upon his head and anoint him. We're going to anoint him. So here he was sent by God. He has separated for God for a special purpose and for a special use. This man, Aaron, was going to fulfill the role of the high priest. And he was both washed and cleansed and hallowed unto God. But he was also, listen, he was also anointed for the specific purpose and for the specific role that he was going to partake of and to be a part of. Anointing oil represents throughout the Word of God, would represent a picture of the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God being that oil by which we are anointed. I praise the Lord, at the time of our salvation, we receive the Spirit of God. I'm not waiting for the Spirit of God to be added, but when Christ came in, he came in by the work of the Spirit that indwells the believer at the time of salvation. And listen to me here, Aaron was anointed not for salvation, but for a picture of one that was going to come, that was going to be anointed by the Spirit of God as well. If you look over in Matthew in chapter number 3, we'd understand this. It says, "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized unto him." Matthew chapter 3, verse number 13, now verse number 14. "And John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering," verse number 15 is so important. "And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, that thus it becometh us," look at this, "to fulfill all righteousness." Then he suffered them. You realize with me, these priests had no need of salvation. Jesus Christ didn't come and submitted himself to baptism for salvation. We understand that. But Christ submitted himself to baptism that he might fulfill all righteousness. As Christ begins his earthly ministry, it began with a baptism, just like any high priest would begin their ministry with a baptism or a washing that would take place. And the washing that took place was for the purpose of them understanding that they are consecrated holy unto the Lord, and that those that saw it would understand that they are consecrated holy unto the Lord. And Jesus Christ, when he came to this earth, was consecrated holy unto the Lord, and his desire was that he would fulfill all righteousness, that he would fulfill the very will of God in his life. And you and I, when we submit to baptism, or when you submitted to baptism, you need to understand this, that what you're saying is this: I'm identifying with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and by his stripes I am healed, and he is the one that makes me righteous, and he is the one that makes me whole. But listen, I'm also saying this, that I desire to fulfill the righteousness of God in my life. I'm desirous to do that. And therefore, I'm going to identify with the one who can make me righteous, can make me holy, and who can consecrate me. He said, listen, he said, thus to fulfill all righteousness. And he suffered them to be so. Verse 16, "And Jesus, when he was baptized," he was washed, "went straightway out of the water." And look at this. "And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and lo, the voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." May I submit to you this morning that Jesus Christ, according to Hebrews chapter 4, our great high priest, he was washed, he was anointed by the Holy Spirit, and he was approved of by God. And every time, listen to me, every time, because Jesus Christ was submitted to the righteousness of God, that one needs the blood to be applied for their sin, or one is in need of the grace of God, listen to me, there stands one great high priest to offer the sacrifice once for all for the shed blood of all men, that they might be able to be anointed before God, that they might be able to have freedom from their sin, that they might be able to receive salvation, praise the Lord, through Christ Jesus today. Amen. We should be a little more excited about that, but we're not. I'll be excited for all of us then. Listen, Christ became our high priest. He submitted himself unto God. He made himself submitted unto, listen, the righteousness of God, that God would be seen in him and through him, and that you and I might be able to have a partaking of salvation. Now, the work of the great high priest was set apart by God himself. He was to be consecrated. And now, this is what God desires, is that we would follow our great high priest. Realize all those other priests that were there, all the sons of Aaron, listen, they were following the lead of the one who was pointing them to the holiness of God. I know it's Old Testament, but listen to me, we have a great high priest this morning. who's given us opportunity that we might have salvation, that we might be named the righteousness of God in Him. And listen to me, friend, this is what takes place. Now God desires that you would be a follower of His Son, Jesus Christ, your great high priest. That's what God's desirous for. He desires that you would be a king and a priest together with Him, that you would understand that you have now been given a ministry, and this is what's going to take for you to be able to accomplish the ministry that God has given you. You're going to have to hollow yourself before God. You're going to have to consecrate yourself before God. In fact, God cannot use a minister unless that servant is willing to, that minister is willing to consecrate themselves to Him, set themselves apart. How's that take place? Well, you have to be submitted to the righteousness of God. You have to submit yourself unto the work of God. In verse number 10, the end of how this took place in chapter number 29, you say, how did it take place? Well, through the end of the chapter of chapter number 29, there were offering after offering after offering. We'll look at those, Lord willing, more next week. But it began, all the offerings began with this one offering. We read about it in verse 10 through 14. Where they took, listen, they took a bullock, and what took place was that they all, the Aaron and his sons, according to verse number 10, put their hands upon the head of the bullock. Again, we can go to, I mentioned this, but we can go to Leviticus in chapter number 1 and read what that's all about, and it helped us to understand this, that they were acknowledging that they were sinful before God. They were in need of a substitute to take care of their sin. They were in need of a substitute to meet the need of the law of God that they had broken. And so this bullock became a substitute for them and for their sin. And through the end of the chapter, there's offering after offering after offering. And you say, well, what's it going to take for me to be a consecrated minister to God, to fulfill that place of consecration before God? May I say this to you, that in order to be a consecrated minister of Christ, it's going to take sacrifice. It's going to take sacrifice. Jesus Christ was a consecrated high priest of our faith because He was willing to be sacrificed. Amen. No. He was willing to fulfill the righteousness of God. And the righteousness of God in Christ's life required sacrifice. And the righteousness of God in these priests' life in the Old Testament required sacrifice. And the righteousness of God in your life, listen to me, it's going to require sacrifice. Both the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for your sin. But listen to me, there's other offerings to be made after that. And this is a reality. That God is looking for consecrated servants to minister to Him. But I can't claim to be consecrated unto Him if I have sin in my life. I can't. No. I'm telling you this. There was some promise. I mean, there was a choosing, and God wanted this special purpose for them, and there was a washing, and there was anointing, and there was clothing. But listen, then there still had to be made sacrifices. And it still had to be made before God. And in your life and in my life, there are going to be sacrifices if I'm going to be an able minister unto the Lord. If I'm going to fulfill the righteousness of God in my life, if I'm going to be consecrated unto God, there are going to be sacrifices, offerings that God's going to ask. There are going to be times when God's going to request some things of me. And there are going to be some times when God requests some things of you. And if I'm going to be a minister unto Him, I'm going to have to allow them to be offered and sacrificed unto Him and His will, unto His holiness, so that I might be able to be holy. If I'm going to be an able minister to the Lord, I cannot approach Him with sin. Just can't. Can't have sin in my life and go to God and say, hey, I'm ready to minister unto you, Lord. Well, what about the sin? Let's not worry about that. No. Realize with me, God's worried about it. He was worried about it in their lives. He's worried about it in your life. And listen, I can't go to God with sin. I can't have pride in my life and be arrogant and listen, be stubborn. And I can't do that and be an able minister unto the Lord. No. I'm going to have to humble myself. Well, why is that? Because God resists the humble. He resists the proud. He gives grace to the humble. That's how God works. And so someone's like, no, I'm gonna fulfill my Christian duty. I'm gonna fulfill the will of God. You're not going to do it with sin in your life. It's going to have to be dealt with. Those priests had to acknowledge that they were sinful. Those priests had to see that sacrifice be made. They needed a substitute. Listen, I can't have lust in my life and be an able minister unto the Lord. I can't. I can't have sinful impropriety in my life. I can't be given unto addictions, and I can't be given unto my own lust of my flesh. And then at the same time, stand up and proclaim, well, I'm a servant of God. I'm here to proclaim the righteousness of God. No. You might have those things in your life, and you might think you can stand and minister unto God and bring glory unto God. But the only person that you're really interested in bringing glory to, when you come unto the things of God, and you want to fulfill the purposes of God, and you want to be a minister to God, the only person that you're really ministering to is you and your pride, and you don't want everybody else to know about the sin that God knows about. And you can go through the Old Testament. You can find out that there are priests in the Old Testament that they thought they could bring glory unto God. Come on, you can go into 1 Samuel and read all about Hophni and Phinehas, and they thought they could be given to their own lust and to their own pleasures, and they could do things their way, and they thought that the glory of God would still abound and be there. And friend, listen, the glory of the Lord had departed, and they didn't even have a clue. They didn't even have a clue. And many times in our lives, this is what's taking place. Instead of us being ministers unto God, and set aside holy and consecrated unto God, instead of us realizing that's our role, and that my attention, my focus, my life, and everything about me is to be given unto God and to the work of God. Listen, this is what takes place many times in most of Christianity, especially in America in the 21st century. Is we've turned God into this genie in the bottle, and God, you need to notice this, and God, you need to take care of that, and God, you need to do this, and you need to do that, and that's nothing about what the priests were doing. They weren't standing there pointing out to God all the things that God needed to do among the people, and all the things that God needed to do for their life, and all the things that they wanted God to do. No. They were completely doing everything that God wanted to do and ministering to God. And we've got this thing entirely backwards where we think we're here to order God and to make God aware of a whole bunch of stuff. And God says, listen, you don't ever realize you're poor and miserable, wretched and blind. And we completely miss the point of what God's called us to do. Because the point of my life is not, listen, to point out all the things that God is doing wrong and to inform God of all the things He needs to do. The point of my life is to humble myself before God and to be consecrated unto Him so that God, listen, so that God might be able to in turn use me to be a minister to people that do not know Him and are not walking in a holy consecrated life toward Him. You get that? You understand how God works? That God says, listen, you just put all your focus upon me. You just make your entire life about me. You just be fully consecrated and holy unto me. And then in turn, God's going to turn and He's going to cause you to be a minister unto people. God's going to cause you to be a minister to someone that is in need of seeing who He is. Come on. He's going to cause you. You say, watch. Well, that's the problem. I just don't like people. Then you got a problem with God. Because God looked at people and said, listen, I love every one of them. Red, yellow, black, and white. I mean, I love every one of every nationality, every individual. I love all of them. And so for us to say, well, I'm the minister of God, and yet I have a lack of love for people, I do not know what being a minister to God is all about to begin with. I have missed the boat. And we stop and we take the old statement, you know, well, if ministry would be great. I'm telling you, you've heard this. Ministry would be great if it just wasn't for people. Well, the reality is there's no ministry without people. No, if there was no people that needed to know who God was and to see who God was, there would be no purpose of them putting on robes. There would be no purpose of the ephod. There'd be no purpose of the consecration. If there were not people that God wanted to help understand who He was and help them to understand how they could get to Him. And God, if you're His child, today desires to you fulfill that role. For you to minister unto Him to help others understand who He is and help them to be able to come unto His presence. He's giving you the ministry of a priest. You say, well, you just don't know the people I know. I know, and listen, my wife lives with people too. Me. Yeah. And my kids live with people. They live with me. They do. And guess what? You live with people. You go to church with me. And I go to church with you. And listen, if we can't get this thing figured out in the house of God, No, I'm among people who know the same master and say, listen, our entire goal is to minister unto the Lord. Sometimes that means that I have to swallow my pride. No, because God desires to minister to that weird person that annoys me. God loves them. No. Sometimes it means that I don't get my way because God is going to use my humility and me humbling myself before someone else who, listen, probably is not as smart as you and probably is inferior to you. But God's going to use your humility before them to show them and teach them about who He is. He is. God, listen, God desires you as a priest unto Him. Listen, not to go out and just do a whole bunch of good priestly things. No, He desires for you to show people who He is. And the only, listen, and for me to stand up here and say, listen, I just want to go out and do a lot of good things. Listen, I'm completely missing the boat of what God intended for His priest to be consecrated for to begin with. Had nothing to do with who they are. Had nothing to do with their ability. It didn't make Aaron any better than anyone else or his sons any better than anyone else. It just simply meant that they were willing, listen, to take upon themselves the form of a servant that they might be able to show men unto who the Savior is and to the glory and the splendor of Almighty God. And in doing so, they became ministers unto God that the people would understand they need to be, listen, coming unto God. God's looking for consecrated ministers. Listen, consecration is going to cost sacrifice. Consecration is going to require that you do sacrifice, that you humble yourself. You say, well, I'm willing to make this act. No. It's not about what you're willing to make. Jesus wasn't, listen, He wasn't set apart. He didn't fulfill the righteousness of God that He chose to fulfill. He fulfilled all the righteousness of God. And if you and I are going to be the ministers, the priests that God has called us to be, you and I as well are going to have to sacrifice the things that God has requested. Say, well, what if God wants to take the things that are most precious unto me? Listen, God has never taken without allowing you to experience His grace and without allowing you to know the true riches of His glory. I'm just telling you, I'm, the reality is I haven't sacrificed everything yet. I haven't. I still deal with pride. And you do too. And I got things I need to sacrifice. And I got things God's going to request for me that I don't even know about in the future. But I also know this, that I can look back at life. I can look at all the sacrifices that God said, listen, I want this, and I want this. And I'm telling you, some of them still bring some tears. But I also know this, every time I've said yes to God, I've also been able to experience the love of God and the joy of God and the presence of God in ways that I never knew before. When I'm willing to, listen, be a minister unto Him instead of ministering to myself and hoping everybody else sees Him, because they'll never see Him if I'm here just to minister to me. They'll only see Him when you and I are willing to humble ourselves before Him to the point that all that matters, listen, is that they know where He is and who He is and how great and loving and gracious He is to a bunch of people who never had a right to come before His presence to begin with. If we live holy and consecrated unto Him. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning. Listen, God wants you to be consecrated, set aside, holy unto Him. But friend, don't for one second think you're going to do that of your own self, of your own works, of your own goodness. Friend, it's going to require you being yielded completely unto Him, and it's going to require sacrifice. The piano is going to play in just a moment. When it does, we invite you to stand to your feet. But I pray that you wouldn't wait. Listen, I'm not the only one that deals with pride in this room. I'm not the only one that deals with selfishness and with anger and with, listen, we could go on and on. All of us do. So that would mean this, that probably all of us have a little work to do when it comes to being a right minister to God. All of us. But listen, can I ask you, is your life's goal about pointing men to Christ? Is that what it's about, or is it about something else? And if it's about something else, then friend, listen to me, then God's receiving no glory at all. But when we're consecrated unto Him and set aside wholly unto Him, friend, listen to me, God receives greater glory than we'll ever know when we can do that. Let's all stand to our feet. No one looking around. If you need to do business with the Lord, won't you come? Won't you come? Won't you talk to the Lord? Won't you bow before Him today? Say that today. I am consecrated unto the Lord. I mean, I'm ready to minister unto Him. Are you? I pray you are. Sing that chorus. Take my life.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take